It's the Canes Cast, episode 13, Road Trip.
Road Tripping.
And as this is being recorded from our lovely hotel in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, we always have to give you a little bit of the, here's what's coming up, here's what you're going to need to know, and oh, by the way, we've recorded this before the Hurricanes play the Edmonton Oilers for their fourth game of the season, so there's going to be a bit of a game preview in this, so if you're listening to this, I don't know, say Wednesday, the game will be done. So, hooray, the Canes with a great win, or we've got some things that we're going to work on. We'll get to both of that, but he's Michael Smith from Hurricanes.com, the all-everything on the web for the Carolina Hurricanes.
All everything on the web. And you are Mike Maniscalco, all everything on the videos.
Well, I try.
Both on the web and on television.
Well, I try, and I thank you for
though,
that.
Though, no pregame show the other night. The fans missed seeing you.
Yes, they did. But they got me for, I think, all of 28 seconds there in Winnipeg. It was nice. It's good.
How was your time in Winnipeg?
I enjoyed it.
That was your first trip with the team
first
to Winnipeg.
First time ever to the Paris of the Prairie. And it is flat.
It's very flat. And there's not much happening anywhere except at the arena.
That is correct.
Where
the cool thing was, from our hotel, we could see back to North Carolina because there's nothing in between.
I think I could see Russia from our hotel.
Let's not go there. All right, Michael. Three games are in the books at the time of us recording this. So let's get to the first part, the things that we liked out of the Carolina Hurricanes from their start to the season, which sees them at 1-1-1 for a total of 3 points. I'll tell you the one thing I liked. I liked the defensive effort we've seen out of this club. They have limited some teams that like to put the puck on the goalie to a lot of chances that don't get through, get blocked, or they just are missing the net because of great defensive positioning. So I've loved the defensive effort from the Carolina Hurricanes in the first three games.
Yeah, I mean, the defensive effort has been strong. This team, historically, at least under Bill Peters, a very strong defensive team, a very defensive-minded system that they play. They limited the Jets to just, I think it was 21 shots the other night. So that is not a concern, really, at this point. The Hurricanes deep defensively. Maybe we see Trevor Carrick in the lineup Tuesday in Edmonton. We'll get more on that in just a bit. But yeah, the Hurricanes defensively, not much of a concern. Where there is a concern, if you can say it is a concern just three games into the season, is offense.
Yep.
The Hurricanes have lacked 5-on-5 scoring. They haven't scored a goal at even strength in two games. How do you see that possibly being corrected?
I think that you hear the coach talk about it. Jeff Skinner mentioned it after the game in Winnipeg. You have to be hungry in this league. You have to get to the front of the net. And, Mike, I think the one thing that was missing in Winnipeg, not shots on goal, but guys in front of the net either taking away the goaltender's eyes or being there for rebounds to poke them home. You know, that's how the majority of goals are scored in this league. It's a broken record. We can say this every year for every team. But that's really how you score. And I didn't see enough of that in the first game against Columbus. There's going to be more games with Columbus coming up. I didn't see enough of that against Columbus and hardly saw any of it against Winnipeg. And I thought there was a time from the second period, about the first, you know, 2-3 minutes of the second period were even, and the Canes took over that period, but I still didn't see enough of them getting to those, and we hear it all the time, another cliche, dirty areas to try to score goals. So I think it's correctable. I think it's something that we can see this team improve on as soon as this road trip, either in Edmonton, again, we're kind of previewing before that, or in Calgary or in Dallas. There's plenty of time to get to the front of the net. That's what we need to see this team do. I think that's what's missing offensively because the shots aren't missing. I don't think that the transition opportunities are missing. I just think that the guys getting to the areas that they need to score those goals, that's what's not there right now.
Yeah, you mentioned the second period in Winnipeg the other night. Kind of an interesting period because from where I was sitting and maybe from what you saw as well, it seemed like the Canes were starting to take over the game.
Yep.
They were possessing the puck. They were dictating play. But there still wasn't a ton happening offensively. They possessed the puck a lot, but nothing much was getting to the net. Nothing. There weren't a lot of grade A chances. I think the Hurricanes only had maybe 8 shots in the period while holding the Jets to 4. Again, we talk that stingy defense. But there wasn't anything tangible. There weren't any goals. So it was kind of a weird second period in that respect. And then they, for whatever reason, couldn't find that game again in the third, and obviously the Jets ended up winning the game. But we talked to Jordan Staal after the game the other night in Winnipeg. Among the few players we talked to, and you know, he was saying that there just wasn't the Hurricanes just didn't play their game enough. And I think we saw them play their game against Minnesota, especially there in the third period when they worked hard to come back, and Sebastian Aho a big part of that comeback. And I think we saw it to an extent against Columbus too, that sort of resiliency there in the third period, late in the third period, Jeff Skinner with the interception of the pass and then the goal to tie it up and send it to overtime. But there just wasn't that element of the game in Winnipeg. And it's game three. It's game three. Yeah. You know, there are 82 games in this league. There's still plenty of time, but some things that need to be correcting and some things I think that the Hurricanes and the coaching staff will address moving forward.
Well, let's also talk about how disjointed this season has been for the Canes, Mike. At the start of the year, this team is playing, it seems like, once every 8 days.
Right.
I mean, that's the feeling for us covering the team, and I can't even imagine what it's like for the fans trying to see them play. But think about it. The preseason ended on September 29th as far as preseason games go for the Canes. So they go 8 days without playing a hockey game. Then they play Minnesota, the home opener, and we saw a thrilling game, 5-4 shootout victory, 2 days off. Play Columbus, a little rusty on offense, but, you know, it's still early going on. Play Columbus, find a way to eke out a point where Jeff Skinner has the NHL's equivalent of a pick six,
right,
where he intercepts the pass and then scores the goal. So the Canes get a point where it looked like they might get none. Then 3 days off, you go play Winnipeg, who they're a salty bunch. They haven't really found their game. Really talented. You play him in the MTF Center. All right, play Winnipeg. Yeah, game, as Mike just said, there were some disjointed parts to it. Offense wasn't there. 2 days off again. So you don't need to be a math genius to just take a look and say, this team, in the course of 17 days, has played 3 games.
Yeah.
That's not a good way to get into a rhythm for a team.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is, after the Edmonton game, the rhythm starts to come back. Edmonton, day off. Calgary, day off. Dallas.
That's
what I think people are looking for. One more like before we move on and preview our guest coming up, who is John Forslund, the TV play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes from Fox Sports Carolina's NHL on NBC and all points in between. If there's a hockey game, he actually called 14 games in his days off. It's amazing. I don't know how he has the time to do it.
No days off for him.
Never, ever a day off.
Days off for us, perhaps. Not for him.
I have learned to take the day off.
Yeah.
John does not. I need to copy that. But I've loved Jeff Skinner the last two games.
Yep.
I mean, his compete, yes, the goals are even better from a guy coming off a 37-goal campaign, but I really like what number 53 has brought to the table, especially the last two games for the Canes.
Yeah, and I think John's going to touch on this little tease for his interview coming up. But, yeah, Jeff Skinner has been one of the Hurricanes' best offensive players, if not the best player on the ice for the Hurricanes, especially the other night in Winnipeg. He was dynamic with the puck. He obviously scored their only goal on the power play. But he was one when the rest of the team was maybe not firing on all cylinders offensively. He was one who was feeling it. He was dangerous with the puck. He made plays. And that's what the Hurricanes need to be successful offensively. They need the guy who scored 37 goals a season ago to do something similar this year, to reach that 30-goal plateau for the fourth time in his career. And I think what we've seen so far, 2 goals in 3 games, I think Jeff Skinner is well on his way to another banner season, and that's going to be good news for the Hurricanes offense.
Can we also talk 500 games for Jeff Skinner?
Yeah.
And he does score a goal on that, and I'm sure he would trade the goal. He would trade the goal or the milestone for a win for the Carolina Hurricanes. But
he's just 25 years old, too.
That's what I was going to bring up. I mean, May 16th, 1992, I'm getting ready to go to college. I'm still a senior in high school at that point, maybe a junior. Thank you. I'm not that old. But, you know, 25 years old, 500 games played. He's missed some games due to a chronicled injury that he has. But you look at what he's accomplished in his career at 500 games in the NHL. He has 180 goals scored and 150 assists coming into the season.
Yeah.
He's now at 182 goals scored, and he just continues to climb up the Hurricanes record books. And, you know, he still has fun playing the game. We see that every day in practice.
Every day.
But when it comes game time, a fierce competitor. And if he stays healthy, you know, the start he's off to, Mike, I have no reason to doubt that he can get to 37, maybe even more goals this year in a Canes uniform, and they need it. They need it from him right now.
Yeah, and I asked him too, like, you know, what's next? What's in the next 500? And he said, well, hopefully more wins and maybe a trip to the playoffs, because that's the one thing. Through 500 career NHL games, we have not seen playoff Jeff Skinner. And you look at what he did in the playoffs with Kitchener in the OHL, he was a goal-per-game producer. He scored 20 goals in 20 playoff games. Absolutely dynamic. So to imagine what he could do in the NHL playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs is something I know we'd all like to see, and hopefully the Hurricanes can reach that destination this season, and we can see what playoff Jeff Skinner is all about.
All right, do you want to set up who our guest is here?
I think it's about time to.
Joining us here on the Canes Cast from Edmonton, our first road guest, Michael Smith, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes on Fox Sports Carolina, is the voice of the National Hockey League on the NHL on NBC. And for my money, again, the best broadcaster. Now that Vin Scully has stepped aside, I waited for Vin, John, for that to happen.
Oh,
he's John Forslund. John, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, boys. Quite a distinction to be here in this fine facility.
It is. Yeah. As far as arenas go, I've got to think that
you was talking about underneath the stands here.
Oh, no, this is great. Yeah, yeah, they set us up. They knew we wanted to podcast here, and they go, we got a perfect spot for you.
The rink is beautiful.
It is great.
Yeah.
My question is, you're about 7 miles away from the ice, so that's got to be a fun broadcast vantage point for you.
There is a rumor that they've moved us down to a lower broadcast location, and it looks like we might be in the lower bowl tomorrow. They did it in the playoffs, and I know the home feed is there. And a little birdie told me this morning that the Winnipeg Jets were here in a regional broadcast, and they got down below. They have both crews down below, so we might come down from the stratosphere. Uh-huh. I hope so.
Well, that would be great. So now, before we really get into this, what kind of game do you expect? Because these are two desperate teams, John.
It is, and you know, the Hurricanes at 1-1-1 to be desperate. I think they're just desperate to find offensive life and a little enthusiasm in their offensive game. I like what they've done defensively. I like how solid Scott Darling has been, and really athletic and extraordinary at times. But I think the other side will be as they were last year. If you recall last year, Buffalo came in here, spanked Edmonton the game before the Hurricanes were here. They kind of adjusted their schedule, took away an off day, had a brutal practice, and then played, you know, angry and convicted, and you know what happened in that night. So it's almost the same circumstances. The Hurricanes have made a few adjustments for this game. We'll see how they meet the challenge, but it's an early season challenge, there's no question.
And maybe some new faces in the lineup tomorrow night with Martin Natchez, Josh Joris, Trevor Carrick, all potentially in the lineup. If they step in for their first games, and Natchez, it will be his NHL debut. What are you looking to see from them trying to improve the Hurricanes offense, specifically with Natchez and Joris and Carrick shoring up the defense? What are you looking for out of those three?
Well, you know, you're looking to revive or kind of find life in the offensive game, right? So in Natchez's case, what I like about it is if it goes according to what we saw today, Mike, is you have him playing with two very good players. So if he plays his first NHL game, they're not slotting him in number one on the wing. They're letting him play his natural position at center, and he has Sebastian Aho and Elias Lindholm as wingers. That's pretty good. It's going to allow him to be dynamic, and that's what we saw in the preseason. I know the numbers weren't there. He just had the one assist, but I thought every shift he was out there, something could have happened and should have happened. So I think he's also being broken in under conditions where he's already played. He's played in this building. He's played against Edmonton. So it shouldn't be too foreign to him. We just spoke with him, and he's really pumped up. So it'll be official tomorrow morning, but it looks like, you know, he'll get in there. The other guys, Juris's case, if he plays, prove something. You know, he's been sitting, waiting. He's a good depth player. They want to get him in there. And, you know, that's the kind of life I think Peters needs out of his offensive game tomorrow night.
John, the sample size has been so small. I think we're on pace to finish up the season in 2019, or maybe by the next Olympics. I'm not really sure. I mean, what does that do to a team, seriously? I mean, have you noticed maybe the play is not as fluid as it should be because it's been so much time from the end of the preseason to then game to game for this team right now?
I had a nice conversation with Rod Brind'Amour yesterday, and we talked about what we've seen in the three games, and he felt that defensively – everything's in place, and you can see that, right? You can see they know the system. They know how to play. It's a lot different than last October. Last October, they were loosey-goosey defensively. That was the issue, and the goalies were just okay. And because of that, they got off to that dreadful start. This year, the defensive game seems to be there. They can't find their offensive mix, and he attributes most of it to lack of chemistry and lack of timing, game reps. So it was a purposeful practice today in terms of where they want to go to the net. I still think it's out of character for this team to get to the front of the goal. You know, I wish they had more bite up front. I really do. I've said that for, you know, a couple of years now. But they're going to have to step out of character and get inside the defense. They were not inside the Winnipeg defense Saturday night, and that had a lot to do with that.
Looking bigger picture here, and I think some fans might enjoy to get to know this side of you, but we look ahead to Tuesday in Edmonton. Walk us through your game day routine.
Oh, well, it starts today. You know, every day has a set routine in terms of the games that are played the night before, the clips I look at, the logs I keep on every team. And then after practice today, I'll go home and do the skeleton outline for both teams for tomorrow, and then watch a game tonight, and then tomorrow morning more work ahead of the morning skates. Morning skate is just a refresher, who's in, who's out, then back to the hotel for the final touch, and then get over here and have the best 3 minutes of my life when I get to interview Bill Peters, and then the game starts. So that's basically what it is, and it's a repetition thing that you never let go. Even on off days, you got to stay up with it.
When we're talking about routines now here on the Canes Cast with John Forslund joining us, when you look at the players today, though, you know, a guy like Connor McDavid stands out.
Yeah.
Why? And I know we all point to how fast he is, but is there anything else that you've seen, and not who he reminds you of, but what sets him apart? Why is he the guy who lived up to all of the billing of he's going to be this next one that the league is going to be able to showcase?
Well, I think for some players, it's just the magic that happens. And I think some of them, and over the last 10 years, we've seen Sidney Crosby kind of have the same thing happen. When you're 10 years old and people are telling you in Canada you're going to be the next one, that's nice, but you also have to learn how to handle that. And McDavid had tremendous attention and pressure when he was 13, 14. I saw some of the games he played when he was a Bantam, and then up through midget and into junior. So then he gets here. And, you know, can you embrace your surroundings? Can you be that player? But the thing about Connor McDavid, yes, the speed, and yes, he can do things at full speed, which not a lot of players can. But if you watch him play, his top hand on his stick, it's the best top hand in the league. It might be the best top hand I've ever seen. I mean, he flips that. And what fans that don't know, the bottom hand of the stick's a power hand. The top hand is the one that's responsible for stick handling. This guy, if you watch his top hand just isolate on that, it's amazing. I mean, he has amazing dexterity with those mitts, and that's got a lot to do with it. So there's always one talent that sets people at greatness apart from everybody else. That would be one for me to watch with him. But I think when he's done with 15, 20 years of injury-free hockey, we might have one of the greatest players ever.
All right, well, let's bring it back to the Canes talent then, John. And, you know, the concern was who's going to pick up the scoring slack for this team, and we took it for granted Jeff Skinner would be that guy. Well, three games, two goals for Jeff Skinner, huge goal against Columbus. I don't need to recount them all, but what have you seen out of Jeff, especially now that he is maturing a little bit more, that his game – being injury-free, we know, is important, but his game and his goal-scoring ability is where it was that rookie year that we thought it was going to be.
What I like about him is the way he competed against Winnipeg. Sure, the goal was great. It was a wonderful shot, and the last-minute goal against Columbus was heroic, and we've seen him be a clutch player in the past, right? But his compete level in that game in Winnipeg, he was the only one. He was a lone ranger in that regard, in my opinion. Maintaining control of the puck, fighting through situations, fighting through traffic, you know, being strong on it. At the end of his shifts, that takes a lot of conditioning. That takes a lot of strength, and you can see the work that he puts in. That's the one thing about Jeff that the fans don't get to see. A, the type of person he is. He's A caliber that way. And B, the commitment he has to his trade. He's a hardworking kid. Everything that you see out there is a complete reflection of what he does in the off season and how hard he trains.
Through the first three games of the season, what do you see as being this club's strong suit? We asked Bill Peters this today. What do you see from your vantage point?
Well, they're structurally sound. I mean, I think they're as systematic, shot suppressive of any team. Okay, they're going to possess pucks. They've been an analytical dream over the last couple of years. Where does that get you? You know, where does that get you? They're going to have to open up their 5-on-5 scoring and prove they can do that. I would like to see them play with a little bit more of an edge at times. Maybe a Trevor Carrick can jump in the lineup and provide a little bit of that. I think he can. And maybe along the way this season they adjust the lineup a little bit to get some of that in the mix. It might be able to help. But I think they're just in a better spot for now from a foundation standpoint than they were last October. And like I said, at the start of the season, I expect them to make the playoffs. I really do.
All right, I don't want to set you up to go on a rant here, but I get the feeling I might be, John.
Yeah.
When you watch the game today, it seems like the whole point is to not score goals instead of go out and score goals. Now, you know, that was growing up in the 80s. It was how many goals can we score tonight, and we'll worry about how many we give up.
Yeah.
It seems like it's turned the other way. Have you noticed that? Is this game, and I'll use the term, Is it overcoached now?
I think it is, but I think it was back in those days, too. I think with guys like Roger Nielsen, Jacques Lemaire, some guys that brought in defensive philosophies, but they maintained their defensive philosophies within the game and how it was played then. So a defensive trap with the New Jersey Devils in the 90s was a very suppressive game, too, but it was with physicality, clutching and grabbing and everything that was allowed. Now, since then, they've taken a lot of that stuff out. The players are far better trained than they were then.
And the goalies are better.
And the goalies are far better. And, you know, sure, they have equipment and all, but they're very much more athletic and also trained. So the athletes, like we see in all sports, I mean, you watch baseball clips and there's highlight plays every night in baseball, right? You see it every night of the season. The same thing in this sport. So the kids are all athletically advanced, and the coaches now coach within the framework of those rules and what they have. So you have a bunch of fast skaters with skill that have to play a defensive system, and that's what you see. And you see that across the board.
John Forslund, thanks so much. I want to thank the people here at Rogers Place for giving us at least
this is nice.
6'2" worth of standing here.
Soundproofing, too.
Well, soundproofing, I like that. They knew. They've respected the Canes cast.
It's where we belong, in the bowels of the building.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this is where I live during these
games.
Yes,
I know. So it's comfy. It's comfy.
It is. It's cozy, especially at this size. You can motor through, and people leave you alone. John, thanks so much for the time.
Anytime, boys. Thank you.
Always great catching up with John Forslund.
A lot of knowledge dropped in that 10 minutes.
And you found out his prep, which is never ending.
Right. It starts today, practice day, and continues all the way through the game day. I should probably learn something from him because I just show up.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we get it through osmosis and then we actually start to take care of that. But you'll not find a more prepared broadcaster for what event he's calling. I mean, it's amazing. There's a story I'll relay a couple of years ago when the Pittsburgh Penguins were going through goalies. They had a bunch of injuries. He had the foresight to ask about Matt Murray when nobody knew who Matt Murray was, and he was ready for that for a broadcast. That's just what he is, and I mean it when I say it. Yes, I've worked with John for a lot of years, and now I really work with him as part of the broadcast team. But, Mike, you're hard to find a better broadcast voice, a guy who calls the game, who brings you into the action, than what John does. We're lucky in Carolina to have him, and really thankful that he took some time to join us today.
Yeah, he's probably in his room right now preparing for tomorrow's game, and here we are just wasting time podcasting.
He is. I can tell you that right now. He already is. So, all right, let's get to a few things, though, that we might see, and we haven't seen yet, again, when you get to the rest of October for the Carolina Hurricanes. We haven't seen Martin Natchez yet, and he likes the name Marty. We heard that.
So yeah, Marty.
Likes going by Marty. It looks like we're going to see him against the Edmonton Oilers again when you tune in to Canes Cast, episode 13, Road Trip.
Road Trip.
I believe Michael Smith is playing the part of Tom Green, and I will be Devin Sawa. We'll go from there if you've seen the movie.
I have.
References.
I can't pull any references out, though.
Oh, I can. There's lots of references that we can, but we're not going to because we try to keep this a bit of a family podcast here today. But what do we expect to see? And what I like to see is Marty Natchez projects as a center. And from what we saw, he's going to play center with Sebastian Aho and Elias Lindholm. And that's one thing that I would love to see this team do. Guy projects as a center. Let's play him as a center and see what he can do. And they're giving him a good chance with two very good NHL wingers.
Yeah, that's the thing. Play him as a center and then give him two elite wingers, especially in Sebastian Aho and Elias Lindholm. That's a line that is, one, going to be very quick, and two, is hopefully going to be very dangerous offensively, which I have to think is what Bill Peters and the coaching staff is looking for out of that trio. So, yeah, if he does draw into the lineup, which it looks like he's going to, it's going to be his NHL debut. For a couple weeks now, he's been just diligently practicing with the team, learning from the team. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing that this guy, who was just drafted this summer, 18 years old, very young, coming into this league, and he's learning at the top level of hockey in the world. He might not stay with the team the whole season. We've talked about this before. It probably makes sense for him to go back to the Czech league and play a full season. But right now, he's learning on and off the ice. He's bonding with teammates that he might have in the near future. And he's learning just what it takes to play in the NHL on a daily basis, getting to practice with these guys on the ice, getting to get bag skated by Rod Brind'Amour, you know.
He came off the ice the other day and went, that was a tough one.
Yeah, and, you know, Roddy's in great shape still, so he can put these guys through anything. But it's going to be good to see what he can bring to the ice and see if he can sort of help chip in offensively and help awaken the Canes offense, so to speak. But as you mentioned earlier, we're also going to settle into a rhythm where there's practically a game every other day. The Hurricanes are going to have a couple days off coming off this four-game road trip, but then they're going to settle right back in and have a game every other day at least. There's, of course, the back-to-back with at Toronto and then back home for to host the St. Louis Blues. But it is going to be nice to settle into this rhythm, to feel like hockey season is here again, because it has felt very spread out so far. What are you looking for just out of the last three games of this trip, Edmonton, Calgary, Dallas? What are you hoping to see the Hurricanes do on the ice?
Score goals.
Yes.
You put it on a tee, buddy, and I am going to swing hard.
Yeah, what do you need to do to win this game? Score more goals than the other team.
Well, now you know how I feel in the second intermission interview.
Exactly.
It's a 1-1 hockey game, and I keep feeling. And for the fans out there, I believe me, I'm trying to think of different questions, but in a 1-1 hockey game, my thought process is always, well, what's it going to take to win this game? I know it's score more goals,
right,
but to get the players' thoughts on how it's going to go, I want to see a more sustained attack from the Carolina Hurricanes. I want to see them, and I know it's not the system they play, but I want to see them flip the script and be the team that is putting the offensive pressure on the team. I know how good they are defensively. I know that they're team is a bit of a counter-punching team, to say that, and I don't even really buy 100% of that, but they're really good in their own end defensively and then going on the counter-attack. I want to see them going on the attack. I want to see them just tilting the ice and putting as much pressure as they can, getting in front of the net, getting to those greasy areas and getting some goals 5-on-5. That's what I would be excited to see. And, you know, the Calgary game, looks like we're going to see Eddie Lack in the pipes, former Carolina Hurricane. So that'll be interesting to see. And now it looks like if Marty Natchez is getting on the ice, I'm going to be excited to watch him play. That, I think, goes hand in hand with the offense. And I hate to do this because I'm not a fancy stats guy and I'm not a this or that. And I almost always subscribe to the Bill Parcells. Don't tell me about the birth. Just show me the baby. But you saw Marty Natchez in preseason. He should have had 5 or 6 assists. And I don't think his teammates in his preseason hockey were ready for some of the passes he was making. So I'm excited to see that. What about you for the rest of October? And we'll include the Edmonton game. So in the final seven games that the Carolina Hurricanes have in October, what are you looking forward to?
Hopefully points. You look at the rest of this road trip and 6 points are on the table. The Hurricanes obviously did not get any points the other night in Winnipeg in a 2-1 regulation loss. But points are very important for the team at this time. I mean, we've talked about it on this podcast before that points earned in October are worth just as much as points earned in March and April. And the Hurricanes want to put themselves in a position to be either in a playoff spot or very close to being in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving. That's really the sort of artificial line you look at, yeah, because it's so tough to move.
American Thanksgiving,
yes, because Canadian Thanksgiving was last week, I believe it was. You want to put yourself in a good position because it's just so tough with the 3-point games to move up in the standings. And the Hurricanes can certainly do that. 1-1-1 so far. A very even keel start, we'll say. But a chance to really gain some ground and build some momentum as we head through October here. 3 home games, too, coming up at the end of the month. Another chance for the Hurricanes to solidify their game as a strong team to play against at home. And another trip to Canada coming up next week. So bring your passport, Mike.
Yeah, I will have it. Thank you.
And it's just a chance for the team to sort of round out those rough edges. I think what we're seeing so far early in the season is a team that played well through the preseason and just has some rougher edges around the around the outer portions that need to be sort of smoothed out. And hopefully sooner rather than later, the Hurricanes get those smoothed out, start scoring some goals, and getting some points in the standings.
All right. I'm going to put this question out there. I'm just going to send this question right over to you.
And if I like it, I will take it.
And if not, send it right back.
Yes.
But the Canes are 1-1-1 at the time of the recording of this Canes Cast, episode 13 road trip. as we are in Michael Smith's hotel room here in Edmonton.
Yes.
He's higher up than my room, so we tried to get away from all of the sound down the street of bustling metropolis Edmonton.
It's really Alberta. Loud down there. I mean, it honestly sounds like I'm right next to maybe a Talladega race.
Yes, or right there on Times Square. Take your pick.
Either one.
Right where we are here in Edmonton. But 1-1-1, where do you see, with what we've seen of this team playing in three games, where do you see them finishing their record here in October? Because the one thing, Mike, there's no layup games. I mean, yes, the good news, hallelujah, the Canes are going to have five games at home of the 10 they play in October, but every team on the schedule is capable of being a playoff team in their respective conference, or they're capable of being in the top three of their respective division. So we're at 1-1-1. Where do you think we're going to finish up when we get to November 1st?
Well, let's see. Let's look at 10 games, so 20 possible points on the table. I think you look at, and no matter you know how you get these points, I think anywhere between 12 and 15 points is a very good month. I think 10 points is an okay month. Yeah. That probably puts you on
it's 500.
Right, and that puts you on par with where this team has been in years past. I would like to see the team go in that 12 to 15 range, and I think it's entirely possible. I think this team has the talent to do that. You know, I don't know what record that puts them at. You guys can do the math, or you can shuffle around wins and overtime losses and all that, but 12 to 15 points I think is the sweet spot. I think that'll put the Canes in a good position. What about you?
I like 12 points. I think that's a good number right now.
It's slightly over hockey 500.
You're above 500. Then the schedule sets up for you in November where you get a couple of teams where you should get wins, even on the road right off of the bat. I like 12. I think that's a good conservative estimate. I think 15 is a little high. But it's completely doable with how this team can play, especially when you've got three more games at home to close out the month. Although it's Tampa who looks to have regained their form. Then you've got a back-to-back in Toronto. Then you come back and play a big, heavy St. Louis team. And then you play Anaheim, who's struggling a little bit at home. And we'll see what they're going to do coming all the way across.
15 might be a little high considering you know, 3 points have gone by the wayside already.
I think 12 to 14 is the sweet spot if you're going to get right there. But here's good news, and I don't know if people caught this the other night in the broadcast. The Canes had only played two games heading into the game against Winnipeg. They had 3 points. That was more points than eight other teams in the NHL, and the Canes had only played two games.
Right.
Now, everybody loves games in hand. You got to win those games in hand, but the Canes were already in front of teams that have burned 3, 4, 5 games already on the season when it comes to getting points. So that's a good thing for sure for this team. And, you know, that's how October will close out. I think this is an important month. I hate to be cliche, but, Michael, I'll say this right now. You don't make the playoffs in October, but you sure can find a way to lose yourself in the playoffs if you don't have a good October.
Yeah, and the guys in the locker room will be the first, especially the guys who have been here the last few years, will be the first to tell you that. So,
all right. Well, we are on the middle of this road trip as we are recording Canes Cast Episode 13. You have done this for a while. This is my now second season traveling with the Carolina Hurricanes. What is some sage advice for a 10-day road trip where – we have to bring dress clothes and ties and different shoes and whatnot. Do you have a secret here for packing light and being able to survive? Because we're going through a couple of temperatures, too.
Yeah, well, that's the trickiest part. Like, we're not just in Western Canada. It's not like we went, you know, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. That would be easier to pack for. We're going Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Dallas. And it is going to be 85 degrees in Dallas. And I would rather not wear jeans in 85-degree weather. I'm wearing shorts, so I had to pack shorts and a T-shirt and all that stuff. I haven't discovered any tricks except, make use of things. Be versatile, you know. Maybe wear the same thing a few times. Don't tell anybody else that. Now I've told everybody that. No. But when it comes to, you know, shirts and ties, and I guess you know this better than anyone, you can't really reuse them because you have to be on television.
Yes.
That makes it kind of difficult.
But the secret for me that I've learned from gleaning this from John Forslund and Trip Tracy, my partners on air, is you can get away on a trip like this. It's four games.
Yeah.
You can get away with two suits, but you need four different shirt and tie combinations.
Yes, and that's what I have. I have two suits and four different shirt and tie combinations.
I brought three suits because we've got to wear a suit on the plane. So.
That's true, yeah.
So I wore a suit on the plane and packed two other ones.
So you make it work.
And then I try to coordinate my colors to to where we're at.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
And then you just jam it all into a suitcase. Mine's just a mess right now. It's on the floor and everything is in shambles. It'll have to be packed back. That's the other difficult thing, too, about traveling is going city to city. You have to repack your bag basically each time.
Well, I've learned to only take out what's needed
right.
and keep everything else packed so I don't have to keep repacking.
I tried to do that, but my suitcase is a disaster.
Yeah,
right
your
now.
Suitcase looks like it threw up your clothes. it really does right
It'll
now.
Be in order by whatever bus time is tomorrow, 4:45 probably.
By the way, for any aspiring broadcasters or people who like to travel, this is a free trip. Buy good luggage because it matters.
Yeah.
Good luggage holds up on the road. You need to do that.
I actually did have to go buy some new luggage because the bag I was using previously gets a ton of holes in it. And you have a nice new backpack over there, too.
I do, yes.
The things get worn on the road. Like, it gets beat up on the road. It's how it works. So, yeah, buy good stuff.
I'll use what my dad told me a long time ago. If you buy cheap, you get cheap. So I looked at him, and my dad's one of the cheapest human beings on planet Earth. But he told me, and when it comes to things like travel and suits, he goes, well, would you rather just buy four $100 suits every year or you buy one suit that's $400 and it will last you, 10 years?
There you go.
Sage advice from my dad, Marty. Thank you, Marty.
Probably see him on television in Buffalo.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if he makes the cameo. There's two opportunities for it. So we'll let you know if that goes there.
The one thing about this hotel in Edmonton is it might be haunted.
Maybe.
I discovered this last night. And did some research on the internet because everything you read on the internet is 100% true.
Always.
I know this for a fact. But yeah.
Don't doubt that for a second.
There's some rumors that the top floor of this hotel might be haunted.
By?
Strangely
A vengeful spirit?
No, strangely enough, it's the sound of a horse-drawn carriage that visitors have heard.
On the top floor?
On the top floor of the hotel. Not sure why.
All right.
I didn't hear it last night, but I totally got the vibe that floor was haunted.
Well, one of our PR directors might have been haunted by that.
Yeah. I would, but it, being on the top floor last night was kind of eerie.
You were on the top floor last night?
Yeah, I was just curious.
Oh, all right. Look at you. Going exploring.
I was just curious and sort of got that vibe and then did some research and found that it might actually be haunted.
All right. Well, I'm pretty sure every famous old hotel has some ghost
story. Yeah, this hotel's really old, so.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, there's stuff that goes with it. All right. Well, that will do it for this edition of the Canescast from the road, episode 13, Road Trip. Michael, well done.
Yes.
And it's by the way, if you are going to go on the road, I highly recommend traveling with Michael Smith. He is a fun travel companion.
We try to have fun. I mean, that's what you have to do, right? Like, it's a long season.
Yes.
And you got to have fun when time allows you to have fun.
And we do. So that'll do it for this episode for Michael Smith, the everything of the Carolina Hurricanes website, which you can visit at hurricanes.com. Remember, check it every game day. Michael does unbelievable work putting up stories, letting you know about the line combinations that are coming out. And every now and again, I get to write the tools to victory when we are on the road. So you can follow that to try
41 times a year.
What's going on? Exactly. Get that. And then you can see it at the rink as well. We have got more of Western Canada to visit, Edmonton and Calgary, and then we go down to, as he mentions, Dallas, Texas, where they say everything's bigger in Dallas. Hopefully that's not true. We'd love to see the Canes get a victory down there to wrap up this road trip. So for Michael Smith.
You're Mike Maniscalco.
And we will talk to you next week on the Canescast.
Bye-bye.